This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. My co-host Meghna Chakrabarty is out today. In the wake of the Boston Marathon bombings, two words have become famously associated with a city's response: Boston Strong. You see it and hear it everywhere, and it's become a handy shorthand for defiance, solidarity, and caring. That's how Ben Zimmer puts it in a recent Boston Globe piece about the origin of the phrase. He's the executive producer of Visual Thesaurus and Vocabulary.com and the language columnist for the Boston Globe. And Ben Zimmer, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. So it might seem that this expression sort of came out of nowhere, but you point out that, in fact, it draws on years of development from other brands that have used the word strong. What are some of those other brands?
Well, we can take it all the way back to about a decade ago. That's when the Live Strong bracelets that you might remember that were made by Lance Armstrong's foundation started to circulate. So Live Strong played off of the name of Lance Armstrong, who had survived cancer himself. And so the yellow Live Strong bracelets, of course, were supposed to raise money for cancer survivors. So in that case, you have Live, the verb, and Strong, which is sort of being used as an adverb. As Armstrong himself said, young people with cancer should be empowered to fight hard, dream big, and live strong. But over the years, there have been other strong brands or strong slogans that have come up. An important one came up in 2006, and that's when the U.S. Army brought out a new recruiting slogan with a big advertising campaign, and that slogan was Army Strong. Previously, they were using an army of one, and before that, it had been be all you can be.
Right.
So they had a big ad campaign with Army Strong, and that was different from Live Strong, because now you have a noun, army, with that adjective strong. And as the commercials explained, there's strong, and then there's Army Strong.
Right.
So it's explaining that this is a special type of strong.
A special kind of strong. And you write that this led to some head-scratching among linguists. And is that because it's, whether it was an adjective or an adverb, or explain that?
Yeah, well, I mean, we expect adjectives to come before nouns. Sometimes adjectives come after nouns if you say something like flowers galore or money aplenty. But this is different because when you say army strong, it's actually the adjective being modified by the noun to explain what kind of strong you're talking about. In this case, it's army strong. But then there were other types of strong that came out of popular culture. There was country strong, which was a song by the country singer Brittany Hoover, which ended up becoming the title of a movie starring Gwyneth Paltrow. And so we get all these variations on the theme. And those variations eventually came to be attached to places in distress. And we saw that happening after Hurricane Irene in 2011, when a couple of folks there started a charity campaign. They sold T-shirts that said, I am Vermont Strong. And Vermont Strong ended up becoming a really important slogan after Hurricane Irene. Even the governor, Peter Shumlin, incorporated it in his annual State of the State address.
Now, Ben, why do you think people feel the need to slap this sort of verbal brand onto events like this? Is this a way for people to, I don't know, take back control, to unify?
Yeah, I think that's an important part of it. A slogan like this can be a kind of a rallying cry. It can be a way of expressing solidarity, certainly among people who are affected by some calamity. And so these are the precursors that that allowed Boston Strong to really become the obvious choice of a kind of a motto after the marathon bombings.
Right. And who gets credit here in Boston for being the first to coin Boston Strong?
Well, the earliest use that I know of happened actually the day of the bombing. Just within hours, there were a couple of students from Emerson College who kicked off a campaign to raise funds, and they sold blue and yellow T-shirts that said Boston Strong on them. And so they got onto that very quickly. But then we saw it all over the place, of course. People in sports like the Red Sox and Bruins and so forth were promoting it quite a lot. And pretty soon it seemed to be everywhere on the buses. And, of course, there's a benefit concert called Boston Strong. And so it really took off quite quickly, but it helped that it had this whole history behind it of different strong slogans.
Yeah, been interesting how it got picked up by the sports team. And then, of course, during the NHL playoffs, we saw the rather provocative sign in Toronto among Maple Leafs fans that said Toronto stronger. A little controversial there.
Yeah, of course, because you're taking a slogan that came out of this terrible event in Boston. But, you know, sports fans will be sports fans. And so it's not surprising that they're going to have some fun with it if you say Boston's strong. Well, we're stronger than that. I mean, even within the Boston area, we saw some playful approaches to that. There was one bar in Cambridge where Boston Strong had been written on the chalkboard sign at the bar. And somebody wrote underneath it, Cambridge Smart. So perhaps that was a sign that things were getting back to normal, that you could have the Boston-Cambridge rivalry expressed that way.
Ben Zimmer is the executive producer of VisualThorus.com and Vocabulary.com. He's also a columnist for the Boston Globe. And Ben, thanks so much for talking to us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Big news today from the Boston Symphony Orchestra. More than 3 years after Maestro James Levine put down his baton at the BSO because of health issues, the orchestra has named a new music director. He's Andris Nelsons, who made his Symphony Hall debut earlier this year while guest conducting the BSO in this performance of Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 5. The 34-year-old conductor from Latvia is the youngest person to lead the orchestra in over a century. WBUR's Andrea Shea has our story.
This morning, the BSO's Board of Trustees voted unanimously to appoint Andris Nelsons to fill the void left by Maestro Levine. BSO Managing Director Mark Volpe acknowledges how young the new maestro is.
Well, young with a ton of experience. I mean, he's been conducting Berlin, Vienna, Amsterdam, Covent Garden, Vienna State Opera, Munich, the New York Philharmonic, and Boston Symphony. He has an enormous experience with, frankly, big-time orchestras and big-time opera companies.
Still, the decision wasn't made easily.
Well, it's a process.
A process because the 12-person search committee had to please a lot of constituents, board of trustees, the musicians, and ultimately the subscribers. Volpe says the committee is impressed by Nelson's presence.
Well, he has enormous energy. I mean, there's certainly musical integrity and intelligence, but his primary focus is on releasing the music. He's a very visceral conductor. I mean, he's very physical. He's a big guy, like many Latvians. And I think he's just such a natural, innate conductor.
Nelsons has conducted the BSO a number of times. He filled in for James Levine at Carnegie Hall when Levine was forced to cancel because of his recurring back problems. Nelsons also performed at Symphony Hall and Tanglewood.
Firstly, I'm really very excited and honored about the decision of the Boston Symphony Orchestra and that I'm going to be the new music director of this one of the world's best orchestras.
From his hotel room in Amsterdam, Andris Nelsons says chemistry between himself and the orchestra is critical, and he felt it with the BSO musicians, too.
Music is opening your heart, and you can't open your heart if you don't feel connected with the people you are performing with, so that's very important.
And Nelson jokes when asked about how it feels to be the BSO's youngest music director in a century.
I will not be as young anymore next year, and this will pass, you know, obviously.
Nelson's has lots of ideas, but says he hasn't started planning his programming with the BSO since he won't start his job until the 2014-15 season. He says it's an honor to be following in the footsteps of Maestro James Levine, but it's daunting, too.
Makes, of course, a big pressure as well as excitement together because it's a great responsibility. But I think as we experience the chemistry with the orchestra and we know how we feel about each other, I'm very much looking forward and believe that we'll have a great journey together, and I'm looking forward to that.
There is something very exciting about having a young, not entirely formed conductor, but who is dynamic.
Longtime classical music reviewer Lloyd Schwartz didn't expect the BSO's decision to come down this soon. He's seen Nelsons at the podium and says the young conductor is energetic and interesting, but still, Schwartz admits he has reservations.
I don't think he's terrible. I think he's really promising. And there's some courage on the part of the BSO to go with someone who isn't all the way there yet as a musician.
Schwartz says the BSO mustered the same kind of courage when they appointed Japanese conductor Seiji Ozawa in 1973, who stayed on as music director for 29 years. Initially, Maestro Nelson's contract is 5 years. The conductor also leads the City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra in the UK. Audiences here will have a chance to see Andras Nelson's in action for themselves when he leads the orchestra at Tanglewood this summer.
That story from WBUR's Andrea Shea. And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.